Ever since I found out Tuesday afternoon that I would be preaching, and actually sometimes I think that's better that I didn't have a long time to dwell on it. Obviously, I've been nervous, very nervous. I was sitting there Tuesday night, just sitting there in the hotel room, reading through my notes, and Chloe, my six-year-old, she said, "Are you nervous to preach?" I said, "Yeah, I am." And we talked about that for a minute, and I said, "You got any advice or anything?" She said, "No, just wondering if you're nervous." So, I mean, I don't know what I was expecting from my six-year-old, but she noticed. But no, I planned on coming to this conference to get exactly what I've gotten these last couple of days, just the challenge from God's word and the encouragement, and just hearing these men that I love so dearly, I look up to, many who I've looked up to for a lot longer than they knew who I was, just coming to this conference and starting out with just my pastor. I mean, he knows who I am, but I've needed every message, and as it got closer to when I it was my turn, I realized that what I'm going to try to give you this afternoon, it fits with everything that's been, and that gave me a little bit of peace. But let's go ahead and read Galatians 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 10. I really want to focus on verse 10, but I do want to read the first 10 verses. It says, "Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me under the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For now do I persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you again that we could be here in your house today and for this conference. Lord, we thank you for the messages we've heard. For me, they have been so encouraging, so challenging, so needed in my own life. And Lord, I pray for Brother Titus that you just be with him and his health and his wife's health, and just give him the strength that he needs. And I pray now you just be with me as I preach. I pray that that your people would get what they need from your word today, and I would not hinder that. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We see here, and I probably wouldn't be the best at it, of giving a full breakdown of the book of Galatians, but some themes here in this book that we see, you know, Paul, he's writing this to the churches in this region for the purpose of addressing some false teaching that had been tripping them up. Specifically around the gospel there, he talked about how he marveled so soon that so soon they were being tripped up by these false teachings, this false, just another gospel. And you can read through the book and you can see how there was these people that were trying to mix the true salvation and the true gospel and say, no, you still have to do these works. You still have to be circumcised. You still have to do these things, and trying to mix the law and grace, and trying to blend those two together, and he was correcting them on these things, and pointing out the fact that it's not about keeping the law. No one can be saved by keeping the law. It's not faith plus doing this or doing that, and just addressing this. And he said in chapter 2 and verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. Amen. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And he's reminding them of this, and just the fact that you don't have to do these things, you don't have to do these the old law to be saved, and false teachers were tripping them up on that, and Paul he also would go on and defend his apostleship and things like that, but the verse that I've been meditating on and looking at over and over is just verse 10, and saying again, for do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. And you know, this gospel that Paul preached, the true gospel, and we've heard so much about that these last couple of days, and about how it's nothing that we could do. We're not strong enough. We're not smart enough to come to the realization on our own that, oh, we need Christ, and we didn't wake up one day like, you know, I think I'm going to trust Christ today. You know, we know that that was by God's grace that he did that. And this was Paul obviously preached this true gospel of by grace through faith in Christ, but that gospel was not popular, especially for those who the Jews that hated Christ, they hated his teachings. They were part of the corrupt Judaism, and this message that they would almost accuse Paul of saying, you're just a man pleaser. You're trying to say one thing to the Jews, you're trying to say another thing to the Gentiles. And of course, that's not what he was doing. But this message, the gospel that we've heard these last couple of days and so many messages, it's not popular. It's not popular in the world, and it's not popular among false religion. And it's not popular today, but he preached it anyways. And it's because of what he said there in verse 10. He wasn't trying to please man. He wasn't everything that Paul did from the time he was saved was to please the Lord and please God. And amen. Starting out with, what wilt thou have me do? And then he kept everything he did was to please the Lord. And he goes on to talk about how in verse 11 and 12, how that gospel, that wasn't his message. He didn't come up with that. He received that from the Lord. He wasn't making up his own teaching. He was just giving what the Lord had shown him, and really living obviously a completely opposite of the life he lived before the Lord saved him. And he talked about that too in verses 13 through 15, talking about how he used to live. Brother Gordon was talking about not fitting with the religious system of that time. Paul knew all about that. He was a prodigy in that. He talks about how he talked about in verse 14 how it profited in the Jews' religion above many mine equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. And he talks about that. Paul knew all about Judaism, and he was rising up the ranks in that. And he knew, and that whole thing was all about pleasing man and honoring all these rules and these things that they made up over the years and added to God's law, and it had gotten out of control, really. Right. And Paul knew all about that. And he said, no, that's not what I'm doing. That's how I used to be. I used to be all about pleasing man, but then he talks about how when it pleased God, he saved him. And amen. From that point forward, I'm not going to read all of the verses, obviously, but like this is, I just want to lay the groundwork a little bit. Not that you don't know it. Many of you have known it longer than I've probably been alive. But thinking about that in verse 10, this the message that he had, the life that Paul lived after the Lord saved him, everything he did was not to please men. It was to please God. So my thought this morning, I guess my title is, who are you trying to please? Right. Who are you trying to please on Monday when you go to work, or Friday, unless you have a cushy corporate job like me and you get Friday off this week and Monday, which I'm looking forward to. But when you go to work, next time you go to work or school or whatever you do, who's going to be on your mind? Who are you living for the next regular day? It's so easy, and Brother Glish brought this up, it's so easy to be godly in a Bible conference. We come here, everyone's singing the hymns, we're hearing the preaching, and it's just so easy to live and kind of portray someone that's a good Christian. But when we leave this place, what are we going to do in our life decisions, the big ones, the small ones, all of them? Whose approval are we seeking? Who are we trying to please as we go about our daily life? Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:9, "Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him." That wasn't for salvation. That was the fact that they were already saved, and now their life was all about being accepted, doing things that were acceptable in the Lord's sight. Amen. And so, nothing crazy this morning, groundbreaking or anything, but just what's been on my mind. And so the first one is pleasing God. There's some, our words, I want to look at our words, our actions, our decisions. I mean, we could talk about all kinds of different things of what we do and if it pleases God, but I want to just start talking about our words, our speech, the things that we say as we go about our day. It says in 1 Thessalonians 2:3-4, "For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth the hearts." The message, like we talked about, the gospel, the message, but just the things we say. Paul was saying that our speak, the things that we say, are not for pleasing men, they're for pleasing God, Amen. Which trieth our hearts. Our message, whether it's preaching or teaching at church or just in our conversation or with our daily conversations or with our family as we go about our days, our focus in those things and the words that we say must be on pleasing God, not pleasing man. We have to, and the Bible has so much to say about that, but I mean, whether it's giving the gospel, I mean, I was thinking about when Brother Cantu was preaching, he was talking about the Bible study that they were doing in the churches down there that are people getting confused about, and they're mixing stuff up with the gospel, and I was thinking about this in Galatians, the same thing, like people get confused, they get tripped up, and in this age, like, people get, they get onto the internet, they get in listening to stuff, there's so much garbage out there that to get tied up into, and that's why it's important that we're faithful to the house of God, we're faithful to our church, or we have a pastor that, you have a pastor, and many here, where we get the truth from God's word, and they rightly divide these things. But we ought to strive to please Him in the things that we say. We shouldn't say anything, if you don't have nothing, if you have nothing good to say, don't say anything at all. You know, it applies. I mean, if our speech doesn't please the Lord, we need to be quiet. And so our words need to please Him. Also, you know, our actions. And this isn't, this is basic. I'd point you to John 14:15, where the Lord said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." If we love God, we want to please Him. He tells us how to do that. He tells us, we know what we're supposed to do from God's word. He gives us those commandments. It says in John 15, verses 9 and 10, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." And so we know that if we want to please God, and we say we want to, we say we love God, we ought to keep His word, keep His commandments. I mean, it always kind of boils down to the same basic things when it comes to Christianity. Just reading God's word, studying God's word, praying, being faithful to church, and just obeying Him, serving according to His word. That's really what it boils down to. And we have His instructions how to do that. We have His word. We can't say, "Well, I want to please God, but I don't know how to do that." And maybe someone's a new Christian. And that's why it's important to be faithful to the house of God. And you'll be taught that. You'll be discipled on how do we please God. And we'll learn that. But when we know, like Brother Conti was saying, if we know what we're supposed to do and we don't do it, like the Bible says, and I can't quote the reference now, but that's sin. Him that knoweth Amen. To do good and doeth it not, it is sin. So our actions, the things that we do, we have God's word to tell us exactly how we ought to go about pleasing the Lord. There's really no excuse for that. We have His word, and the decisions that we make. Turn over to James and you probably know where I'm going, but James chapter, I tried something different to where I didn't have 12 pages of notes and I didn't copy paste all my verse references, so now I got to turn there. But James 4, and very simply, verse 13 through 15, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Amen. There's too many people that go around and they just say, yeah, I got plans. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to take this job over here. I'm going to move over there. I'm just going to do this without even ever stopping to consider, is this the Lord's will? I'm not saying I'm perfect at this. Obviously you're not shocked by that, but like I was just talking to my pastor about this during lunch. I sincerely, I'm terrified to do something if it's not the Lord's will, especially like big decisions, whether it's a job. I just had a decision I had to make around my job just in the last couple of weeks, or even, you know, when we bought a house a couple of years ago, or just on different things on how the Lord wants me to serve him. I'm terrified to make this a decision that's not pleasing to him. And my pastor reminded me, and I appreciate that, and I've heard this so many times, just do what you know to do. Do what you know to do, and the Lord will guide you. We can look over at Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, where it talks about not trusting. Don't lean on our own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. That's what we need to do. And so when we're thinking about decisions, or, you know, we ought to stop and consider, is this the Lord's will? Mm-hmm. It's so basic. And then, If we're afraid to talk to our pastor to see what he thinks about it, sometimes I think we know what the Lord's will is, but we just don't want someone to tell us, so we don't go and ask. But we ought to do that. We ought to seek that biblical counsel. It's easy to find someone that will agree with you. I could think of anything I want to do, and I could find someone that would say, yeah, you should do that. Right. That's easy to do. The hard thing to do is to say, Lord, not my will, but thine. And then go and get that biblical counsel. Go to the person that you know is going to teach you and point you to God's word and principles and precepts. And maybe it's not as simple. Sometimes a decision I had to make recently, it wasn't really that simple. I couldn't just go to a verse, and so I really just didn't know what to do. And my pastor, I went to him, a couple other men, and just, you know, we made a decision, but neither decision was going to take me out of church. Neither one, it wasn't going to, I just didn't know. But, you know, we ought to have that desire. I just want to do your will. And that's not our desire, and we just have this, well, I'm going to do this. And then that's not pleasing to God. That is not biblical decision making. Our pastor several years ago now, or same pastor, just a few. And when I say several years ago, I get it. I'm 32, so for me that's like 10. But he did this. We did this whole thing on biblical decision making, and he still brings it up from time to time. And it's just so simple, just following God's word and not trusting ourselves and getting that biblical counsel and really just getting to the point where you just want God's will. Amen. And I've experienced this in my own life so many times where, I knew what I wanted. I didn't know if it was God's will, and then it ended up being His will. And but you gotta be willing to leave that up to Him. And so it says in 1 John 3 verses 20. Well, we're pretty close to there. I actually did put this one in my notes. 1 John 3 22 through 24. It says, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight." And this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son, of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. And he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him. And hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us. You see here, in this verse, that we keep His commandments and do those things which are pleasing to Him. I guess I would go back to, I guess I missed this reference, but just on the actions, the things that we do, We ought to want to do those things, it says, that are pleasing in His sight.
Amen.
And we can't make up excuses. We can't. I thought it was Brother Graber talking about Enoch, and I never really thought about it before, but I talked to Brother Gordon about this, about sometimes I'm reading and I'm just reading it. I miss things. Mm-hmm. And Brother Graber pointed out that, you know, Enoch, he lived life those 300 years. He begat sons and daughters, and I thought, wow, you know, to me that's like right there jumps off the page. I cannot use my family to not walk with God. We walk with God, and we do it through the various, you know, stages of life that we go through. And so our words ought to be pleasing to Him. Our actions, our decisions, everything we do, we have it in His Word. What would be pleasing to Him? And if you're not sure in a very specific situation, then seek the counsel. Seek God's will in that, and be open to not just coming at Him like, this is what I want to do. What should I do? That's not a good. I mean, I guess it depends on your attitude and the way you say that. But the other thing about pleasing God is that it won't be. Well, hold on. One more thing. 1 Thessalonians 4:1. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. So here's Paul encouraging them there. You've received it of us how you ought to please God. And then he was encouraging them to do it, abound more and more, and to do that to please Him. But when we do those things, it won't be popular. It's not going to be popular. You know, it's easy in here. It's easy to say these things, and it could be popular in here. So that's not really the hard thing. But, you know, in the world, it is not popular. And sometimes even, unfortunately, among God's people, it might not be popular, just depending on the situation. But, you know, it costs to want to please the Lord. It's gonna cost comfort. It's going to cost maybe some friends. Maybe they shouldn't have been your friends in the first place. But, you know, Paul, it cost him dearly. I mean, we can read about how he suffered. We can read about, just read through Galatians and, you know, the accusations that people made on him or trying to say he's not an apostle and that. And it's not popular. Look over at Jeremiah. Chapter 1, just read a few verses there. I was just in my Bible reading, started reading through Jeremiah recently, and I was just thinking about these verses when I was thinking about the subject. Obviously, it says in starting in verse 4 of chapter 1, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, amen, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. And then he says in verse 8, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. You know, Jeremiah had a hard message to give to the children of Israel about God's judgment, how God wasn't pleased. And he told them, I'm going to be with you, because they're not going to really receive it too well. It says in verse 16, we'll jump down a little bit. It says, and I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness who have forsaken me and have burned incense to other gods and worshipped the works of their own hands. Thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day a defense city, an iron pillar, and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And it says, and they shall fight against thee. And you just go on. It's just, he had a hard message. Amen. But he said, I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to give you the words to say. And as the man of God, he was going to do that. And God was going to strengthen it. It wasn't a popular thing to do.
Right.
And many of these prophets were killed. They rejected. It can be hard. It can be a hard message. A pastor, I'm not a pastor, but I'm thankful for my pastor. He doesn't skirt around the hard stuff. He You know, pastors ought to preach the whole counsel of God. And that's not a popular thing to do. It's not a popular thing to do, you know, when you're, and I've not done this, but like when you're, I've heard about this happening, when you're preaching through a book and you're aware of something that's going on and that next message is right on that. But even if it's not popular, we have to preach the whole counsel of God. And and it because God has a purpose in that. And so he encouraged Jeremiah here, but he had a hard message to give. And as my pastor pointed out Tuesday night, they didn't want to obey several times. It was in the book of Jeremiah, right, where they didn't want to obey those right. things. And that God told them they're not going to really receive it. But that's not the prerequisite of doing those things, saying the things that please God, is whether it's popular or not. I thought about Moses, how it cost him to serve the Lord, to live a life that pleased him. It cost him comfort. I mean, I'm jumping to Hebrews chapter 11. You know this verse. I'll just read verses 24 and 25. It says, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of the Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season." Moses, another man of God, greatly used. He could have had it real easy, but he didn't, because he wanted to please God. And they can go on and on. Teaching or just whatever the Lord has you doing where you are. You know, this is kind of a personal example, but you know, it can be painful to try to please God and try to serve Him. I teach the teens in our church, and just recently, you know, I haven't been doing it very long, but just a few of them left, and three out of five of them left, and that hurt. I'm still hurt about that, and you know, you go back and you think, what can I say different? What can I? I think a couple of them need to be saved, but and then I just thought, like, for someone who's a pastor, that is just a small piece of. If you're a pastor, you're responsible for a much, you know, larger, potentially larger group of people, and I just can't imagine the burden of a pastor and the pain that could come along with that. Just pouring your heart into people, praying for them, and you cannot make them receive it. Right. Just like Jeremiah, he said what God told him to say, but he couldn't make them obey it. And you know, doing those things, just pleasing the Lord in the things we do, it's not always going to be popular. It's not always going to be received, and it can be painful. But we ought to do it, and I'll get to the reason at the end. Well, we already read it, but. So that's pleasing God, and the things that we do, our actions, our decisions, our words. But then he said, the question was, do I please men or God? Or inferred, or God. But pleasing men. You know, man-pleasing, really, it stems from pride. This was brought up the other day. But I think about this. And pleasing men, I got to get back. Well, I have my marker there. It said, do I seek to please men? I'll give you another personal confession about, you know, I come to this conference or I like I said, I look up so much to the men that are preaching, and I just appreciate them and just the power that they bring forth when they open up God's word. And when I prepare a message many times, just to be honest, a lot of times I'm just worried about being able to fill up the time. Well, what if I only go 20 minutes or 15 minutes? And, you know, that stems from pride, because I'm thinking about, what are people going to think? And really, the concern should be, what does God want me to proclaim? What message does he want me to give to his people? But when we can be focused on the wrong thing. Right. To where, well, he laughed. What's Brother Gordon going to think of my message, you know, or my pastor, you know? And I will say this. I was talking to my wife the other day. I don't want to, kind of different, but like when I was, and even now, I'll go somewhere or we would go to like a Legacy 5 concert, or maybe we would go to a Bible conference somewhere, and I'd be sitting, and I knew where my pastor was. And when I was younger, you know, I'm still learning a lot, but like I would hear something that maybe I hadn't heard before, and I wasn't sure, and I'd just look over at my pastor. Like, is he nodding over there? Like, that's, I do that. I still do that. I'll look over at my pastor just to see, like, is this good or not? You know, and it's just what we do. But that's not, but when it comes to pleasing men, it's just, our main concern, like my main concern coming up here ought to be, is what I'm doing pleasing to God? Is the message that I'm preaching what he would have me to say? But if we're about just pleasing men, that stems from pride, because now I'm making about myself. Oh, I'm concerned. Oh, what are they going to say? Oh, Tim, he didn't go till the top of the hour. Well, technically, just the way we started today, it would be different. But, you know, I think about those things. But no, pleasing men pleasing, that stems from pride. We shouldn't be worried about what people think. Now, I should be concerned with what my pastor thinks. So you see, there's a difference there. But what is so-and-so going to think about how long I went, or did I have good points or whatever? We ought to say what would be pleasing to the Lord. But people don't, you know, like I said, people don't want to hear that. Yeah. Try to turn over there real quick to Isaiah chapter 30, verses 9 and 10. It says, this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Whoa, we don't want to hear this hard stuff. Give me something good, you know, give me that Joel Osteen kind of vibe, you know. No, that's what's going on in this world. And then obviously you could turn over to 2 Timothy, just heaping to themselves teachers having itching ears. People of the world, they want to hear, and sadly sometimes Christians want to hear, hey, please me, you know, give me just some encouragement, keep it light today, don't go too long, which is not, like I said, personal confession, not usually my weakness, but something I concern myself with probably too much. But it comes, pleasing men, it'll take compromise. Right. It comes at the cost of truth. You, if you do that and you just, you know, God loves you and let's make every day a Friday, there's no accountability. Just come on as you were, come in as you are, leave as you were. No big deal. God loves you anyways. And some people get that out of Galatians. They think, well, I'm saved. I can do whatever I want. But that doesn't give us the license to do. We don't have license to just do whatever we want just because we know that we're saved and we can't lose our salvation, and it has nothing to do with us. Someone that has that attitude probably isn't saved in the first place. But pleasing men, it takes compromise. Like I said, the direct context of these verses in Galatians chapter 1 is around the gospel. And, you know, you want to please those corrupt Judaism, you know, the people in that religion at that time. You got to add works. You got to follow the law. You know, that would be pleasing to men, but that would take compromise. And he wasn't willing to do that. And he wasn't willing to let anyone else do that. If you can read in that chapter 2, they wouldn't, not even for an hour, let one of those false teachers stand. So the direct context is them getting duped into another gospel, a false way of thinking. But any kind of, you know, trying to live to please men, it's going to take compromise of following the Lord. I'll get to that in a second. It says, I thought about Achan, you know, kind of jumping around a lot, but they were told when they go into, I hope I don't mess this up, when they go into Jericho, I don't want to turn there. And they said, you know, wipe it out, but don't take stuff for yourself.
That's right.
And Achan didn't, he wanted to please himself in the situation. Mm-hmm. And he took some stuff and hid it under his tent. And the Bible says that the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. It wasn't just against Achan.
Right.
And the crazy thing is, it was like the next city, they would have been able to take the spoils. But he got impatient and he wanted to please himself. And there's a thought there. waiting on the Lord.
Amen.
But pleasing self is just gonna hurt your family. It's gonna hurt other people around you, and that's exactly what happened for Achan, to kind of take compromise. Pleasing men is comparing ourselves with others, and we've heard quite a bit about that this morning, just about comparing ourselves to other people, and I'm not as bad as that person over there. I can't believe that person here. That's we're trying to please ourselves. We're comparing ourselves, and as Brother Wilder said, those people aren't the standard. Jesus Christ is the standard, and when we compare ourselves to Him, we're going to be woefully short every time. And then we'll turn over and we'll read something like Psalm 130, and that will really resonate because we know it's not of us. It's all of the Lord. And so pleasing men is just, it takes too much compromise. It's not worth it. It's going to hurt you. It's going to hurt other people. And it's just not a good thing. And then before I get into the rest of verse 10, I just thought of how our ultimate example in pleasing God is His Son. Jesus Christ, He's, as always, the very one that the gospel, that Paul is correcting them on the gospel, the one that gospel is centered around is our perfect example. Let's turn to John 8 for just a minute. John chapter 8, I'm just going to read, really, well, I guess I'll just read one verse. Verse 29. And He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him.
Amen.
Everything Jesus did, and how many times did He say it? That everything, I'm not here to do my own will. I'm here to do the will of Him that sent me. I'm here to please Him. It's not my will. And it wasn't, speaking of not being popular, read the rest of John 8. They wanted to kill Him right there. He had some strong words for them, and they were, it's quite the account, and it wasn't popular, but the Lord always did the things that pleased His Father.
Amen.
Even up to the right before the crucifixion there, Luke 22:42, saying, Father, if Thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done. It was always about His Father's will.
Amen.
He never wanted to do anything that was outside of God's will. And He said in John 6:38, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. And then John 4:34, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. He's our ultimate example in so many things. But He always pleased God. And God even said, the Father said at one point, after He was baptized, this is my beloved Son whom I am well pleased. He always did the things that were pleasing. No matter what people were saying around Him, when all those disciples said, whoa, this is too much, and many of them left, it didn't affect Him. He was always going to do the Father's will. And that's our perfect example, and that's who we ought to look to for our example for that. So then the question is, who are you going to please? Who are you trying to please? As my pastor often quotes, there's only two choices on the shelf, pleasing God or pleasing self. I think that's what he says. That's really it. I mean, we can, because part of pleasing man is pleasing self. I don't know if I said that, but man-pleasing includes myself. Just doing the things that I want to do, things that my flesh wants to do, that's pleasing self. And that's not what the Lord ever did, and that's not what we ought to do. Our purpose, if our purpose in life is to please men, and that, like I said, including ourselves, well, Paul had some strong words for that. And back in Galatians 1, verse 10, and we read it, but he said, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? Then he says, for if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ.
Amen.
That's a scary thing to think about. We're not talking about salvation here. I don't think so. If everything that I want to do in life, my decisions, my actions, my words, is about pleasing others, pleasing men, I can't serve Christ like I'm supposed to. He wouldn't be pleased. And that's a scary thing to say. Well, I think that means I'm not a Christian. And by that, I don't mean I'm not saved. I mean I'm not a saved, faithful Baptist church member like I should be. I can't be the servant of Christ if I'm all about pleasing others. And so, now, don't take me wrong on that. I know there's Bible verses that talk about, you know, obeying the, you know, I just thought of a verse I wanted to read. But, you know, pleasing our, you know, when we go to work and doing what we can to please our boss and things like that, but not as unto men, as men pleasers, but unto God. We should try to be pleasant people, but sometimes you pleasing God is, people aren't going to like that. So, but we can't be the servant of Christ. I can't be the Christian I'm supposed to be if I'm concerned about what I want to do all the time and what other people are going to think about that. That's going to hinder me. I'm not going to do what I'm supposed to do. I'm not saying we should try to be unpleasant, but like I said, if we make everything about pleasing the Lord, people aren't going to like it. If the world loves us, we got an issue. We're probably not a servant of Christ. I mean, if I've been to some, not a lot, I mean, the funerals I've been to, you hear people say, oh, they never had an enemy. And I think, really? We're going to have enemies if we serve God like we're supposed to. Not that we want that, but we're not going to be pleasing to others. I wanted to point out one other thing, and I didn't say this like I wanted to. I just get nervous, but speaking of the man of God, I was supposed to do this in Jeremiah, and I drew this line down here, and I missed it. Look at Hebrews chapter 13. Just back on, how do I know how to please the Lord? I just want to hit this one more time because I think it's so important. Speaking of the man of God, I know God gives us our pastor. He gives us pastors who shepherd us. They guide us. They give us what we need on how to please the Lord.
Amen.
And it says in Hebrews 13, two different verses here. Verse 7, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. And then verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. God gives us what we need in his word, but then he gives us a pastor that will teach us his word, who will give us something to follow, be that example that we need, another one of those examples we have. And we heard it this week, despise not prophesying. So when our pastor's up there and foretelling the word of God to us, do we get mad when he talks about our struggles?
Right.
We shouldn't. We need that. I'm so thankful, and I know Brother Roland talked about this earlier, I'm so thankful for the men of God in my life, whether it's my pastor, whether it's my youth director, Brother Lentz, in the times where he didn't say the things that I wanted to hear. And you know what? I love him for it. And now that I'm teaching the teens, I think about that, and I'm praying we're going to have a few new students here that are going to be up in that age starting next year, and I'm praying for them now. I don't want to say the things that are going to make me be their friend. I mean, I want them to like me, but I want to give them what they need to serve God. And a couple of them need salvation. One of them is saved, but I pray for them. We ought to do everything we can to please the Lord.
Amen.
And if we don't, we can't be servants of him. That's plain. That's what he said. All right.